Turn with me to the 14th chapter of John's Gospel. And I want to draw your attention to two verses in this portion that we read. The Lord Jesus is making a promise that he's going to pray the greatest prayer he ever uttered. Because if you look at verse 12, he prefaces his words this way, "Verily, verily, truly, truly," there is no doubt about it, "I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also." Hold it. "And greater works than these shall he do." What greater works than Christ did on earth? Yes, greater works shall he do, because I go unto my Father. The ministry of Christ was limited in its scope when he was upon earth, because he kept to the confines of the Holy Land. And only once, at Tyre and Sidon, did he go over the border to another land. But when Pentecost came, Christ's ministry went to the ends of the earth. And the last words that he spoke was, "Go ye into all the world." And the greatest works are the works that have been done across the whole world. But that rested on verse 16 and verse 17. "And I will pray the Father." It's not very often that you find in Scripture a prophecy concerning prayer. But here we have a prophecy concerning prayer. And that prophecy says this. It says, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. I am your comforter today. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. But I'm going to send another comforter who will never, ever leave you. He'll be with you while you live. He'll be with you when you die. He'll be with you for all eternity. That he may abide with you forever." The Lord Jesus had to leave his disciples. They stood with their eyes towards the heaven, but Christ had left them. But the Holy Spirit will never leave the church. This is the greatest prayer that Christ ever offered. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Shall be in you. Old John Newton, slaver, the blasphemer, the drunkard, and the villain, was gloriously converted to God. He wrote his testimony in that hymn we love to sing, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." And one day he was preaching and he said this, "There are some books I cannot read. They are good enough and sound enough, but what I call books of halfpennies. You have to take them and read such a quantity of them before you get any value. They are halfpenny books, and it takes a lot of halfpennies to make a pound. But there are other books. Some of them I call them silver books. And some of them I call golden books. But there is one book. And that is a book of banknotes. And every leaf is a banknote of immense value. I have two banknotes in this text today. For what a text it is. It would be impossible for me to expound it today in the short time that is mine. But take your Bible and mark some things that are worth marking. First of all, mark Christ's prayer. It is a prayer that he says, he's going to me. He hasn't made it yet. Well, thank God now it's in the past tense, for he didn't make it. But he made it when he went into heaven. And he prayed to the Father. So it starts with the prophecy of Christ's prayer. And then it goes on to underscore the petition of Christ. Christ's petition. He shall send you another comforter. The comforter has come in the person of the glorious Spirit of God. And then look again and you'll find Christ's promise. He may abide with you forever. This is not a blessing that will pass away. This is not a second blessing that doesn't bring a third or a fourth or a fifth or a sixth or a thousand. A man said to me one day, have you got the second blessing? I said, yes, and I've had thousands and thousands of blessings. For he has blessed us with two blessings. It doesn't say that in the Bible. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. All of them. They're all yours. Don't look miserable. Don't look as if the sun's never going to shine again and it's going to be a wet day tomorrow. Look heavy, for the blessings are all ours in Christ. What a blesser the Savior is. And then look with me next, and you'll see that Christ here utters a prohibition. He says, the world cannot receive the Holy Ghost. You will remember this, but of the beautiful and wonderful type in the Old Testament. You had a dove. Do you remember that Noah sent the dove out? But the dove did not stay on earth because the earth could not receive that dove, because that dove was a perfect type of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here we have the fulfillment of the type. And what is the fulfillment of the type? The Holy Spirit cannot be received by the world. There are many meeting houses open today across the United Kingdom. But there are many meeting houses where the Spirit of God will be absent because they're worldly meeting houses. But the world cannot receive the Holy Ghost. You can't be a worldling and know the infilling of the Spirit of God. For when the Spirit of God comes, the world, hallelujah, goes out. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If you're truly born again, you'll not love the world, neither love the things that are in the world. But then we have Christ's pledge. And he says, the Spirit of truth. He's going to come, and he says, ye know him. What a pledge is that? You know, how did they know him? Because the Holy Ghost is Christ's other person. If you've seen me, he said, you've seen the Father. And if you've seen me, you've seen the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost has one job, not to speak of himself, but to speak of Jesus. And when you're filled with the Spirit of God, you have an inner witness in your heart, and something happens. You see Jesus. Do you want to see Jesus? Get filled with the Holy Ghost. He's the only one that can reveal it. And then we have Christ's power here. And Christ says, he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The blessed Holy Spirit releases on our life the power of Christ. Christ baptizes with the Holy Ghost and fire. Maybe you understand now why I said I wouldn't have very much time to handle this text. For this text is a sheaf of banknotes, and they're all made in my favor. And when I draw them, I'll never be bankrupt. I'll always be in cash, because these are up to date, everyday promises. Let's live in the enjoyment of. Let's live in the power of. Well, let me come to them, if I may. We'll not get through them all, but we'll do our best. Christ's prayer here. We find him, he says, I will pray the Father. Here is the glorious prayer, and the greatest prayer that Christ was going to offer. The whole history of the Christian church has been successful down through the years because Christ sent the Holy Spirit and the Father answered his prayer. Every work that has been done, every revival that has come about, every mission work that has been opened, every missionary that has been sent, every martyr that has died, every church that has preached the gospel, every evangelist to ever won souls, is because Christ offered this prayer. I will send. I will send. I will send. And thank God he has sent the blessed Holy Spirit of God. Do you feel the Spirit in your heart? Is there a warmth in your heart as you lift the Bible? Is there a warmth in your soul when you read the Holy Scriptures? Because the Scriptures were inbreathed by the Spirit of God, and this book is the sword of the Spirit. The Spirit sword. What a book it is. Full of truth. Full of righteousness. You know, there's everything in this book. Nothing new in the world. It's all in the book. I had a very interesting happening this week. I was asked to go to the Eco Center. You say, what's that? Well, I don't know what it is, but it's in my constituency. And it is to do with the enterprise of the government in making inquiries and looking for new inventions. And you know, the farmers are troubled with the curse of nitrates. And of course, there's a whole controversy with Europe on that subject. So this was an international conference. And they invited my wife's husband, of all people, to open it. I don't know why. There were men there from China. There were men there from practically all the continents of the world and all the large countries of the world. Most interesting gathering. And as I was reading over the paper, I discovered that the top man in this conference had said this: the only way to purify water and get the curse of nitrates out of it is to build channels beside the rivers. And I looked at it. I said, I wonder, did that man ever read the Bible? Because that's what the Bible said the Egyptians did. You remember when the river was turned into water, they dug channels beside the river to get the water. Because the water seeped through the land, and the land had the potential of purifying the water. And here's a man now telling the world, this is the solution. So when I was introduced to him, he's a very important professor. I am, of course, a possessor, which is better than a professor. And I had a good talk with him. And I said, you have been in Egypt, sir. He says, I don't know what you mean. Oh, I said, you must have visited Egypt, because you are telling us something that the Egyptians did in their wisdom. And I said, they did something, they dug the channels. He didn't know, but I informed him. And I said, of course, they were trying to cure the blood waters of the polluted river that God had judged. But the answer was beside the river, in the channel that could be dug. And he said, that's very interesting. So when we were making our inaugural address to that great international conference, I explained this to them all. Man, they got their eyes open. I said, I believe in the Bible, and I believe it's true. And I've got the answer in the Bible before you boys could get it. And I said, I got it down in Egypt. Man, have you ever seen their faces? The old Chinaman, his head nearly fell off. And well, he wasn't old, he was a young Chinaman. I better not get into trouble with him. And why, we had a great time. The Bible is God's book. You'll get all the answers in this book of God. And here we have an untiring intercessor given to us. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for the saints with groanings that cannot be uttered. The unutterable groanings of the Spirit of God in the blood-washed hearts of Christians. It's when that happens in your life, you become an instrument of revival. When you go home this afternoon after you get your roast beef, and I hope you don't eat it with unbelief, eat it with faith, then it will do you good. You take the book of Romans and take the 8th chapter. And you'll find that the 8th chapter of the book of Romans is the chapter of the Holy Spirit of God. 28 times in that chapter you'll find, 26 times you'll find the mention of the Spirit of God. You know what you do? You put your pen under the 26 references and then go back and look at those 26 references. And you will find 10 wonderful things about the Spirit of God. You'll find, first of all, the law of the Spirit. You'll find, secondly, the walk of the Spirit. You'll find, thirdly, the things of the Spirit. You'll find, fourthly, the life of the Spirit. You'll find, fifthly, the leading of the Spirit. You'll find, sixthly, the cry of the Spirit. You'll find, seventhly, the witness of the Spirit. And you'll cry, eighthly, the first fruit of the Spirit. And then you'll find the intercession of the Spirit. The ninth one, then the tenth one, you'll find the mind of the Spirit. And there's something precious in every one of them. Oh, that we could learn as believers the law of the Spirit. Oh, that we could learn to walk in the Spirit. Oh, that we could study the things of the Spirit. Oh, that we might know the life of the Spirit. Oh, that we might know the leading of the Spirit. Oh, that we might know the cry of the Spirit. Oh, that we might know the witness of the Spirit. Oh, that we might know the first fruit of the Spirit. Oh, that we might know the intercession of the Spirit. Oh, that we might know the mind of the Spirit. Oh, my friend, we need to know the Holy Ghost. We need to know the Holy Ghost. Get acquainted with the Spirit of God. For He is, as I have already said, the one that reveals Christ. You'll never see Jesus except the Holy Ghost shows you Christ. He's the only one that can show us Christ. Oh, may He show us Christ in His passion on the cross. In the loveliness of His face, in the beauty of His eyes, in the sweetness of His lips, and in the glory of His person. Old Samuel Rutherford said, "The bride eyes not her bridegroom, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze on glory, but on the King of grace. Not at the crown He gifteth, but on His pierced hand. The Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land." Brethren and sisters in Christ, to see Jesus is the greatest thing that we can do. And the old Paul, the prisoner, he wrote and said, "Look unto Jesus." Why? Because He's the author and the finisher. It's a great thing to be in at the beginning. It's a better thing to be at the end that never ends. He's the author and He's the finisher of our faith. Could I close by asking you just to look at this second one, Christ's petition? He shall send you another comforter. Christ had to depart from heaven, and the Holy Spirit couldn't come from heaven until Jesus went in and sprinkled His blood before and on the mercy seat. And when His blood was sprinkled from heaven, the blessed Father answered His Son's prayer. And the Spirit of God came down to earth for a period. No, He's going to dwell with the saints forever. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll be with us to the end of the journey. Mr. Spurgeon used to say the three persons of the Holy Trinity mutually promise on one another's behalf, there's a bond of three holy names appended to every promise in the Bible. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We have a divinely sealed promise. And this promise here of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost stands forever. There's a hymn that says, "He abides." And praise God, He does. He abides. Hallelujah, He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the pilgrim's way, for the Comforter abides with me. See to it that you take the Holy Ghost in your heart everywhere you go. Don't grieve him away. Don't quench him. Don't disobey him. He's given to those that obey him. Obey him today. Accede to every one of his commandments. Do what he wants you to do. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at Jesus' feet. We'll walk by his side in the way while we do his good will. He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. I trust the Spirit of God will come upon all our hearts and all our souls and all our minds. And this day will be a crossroads where we'll leave the old dead way of Christianity, the old dead way of just reading the Bible quickly, of just rushing in to our knees and having a few words with God and rushing out again. God wants our time. He wants ourselves. He loved us so much that he gave his Son for us. Let us give ourselves back to him and know the power of the Holy Ghost in our hearts for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank thee for the sweetness of the divine presence. And we thank thee that you've spoken to our hearts today. Speak on to our hearts and use us to your glory for Jesus' sake.